The following is a production of the Geek.io Media Network. For more geeky goodness, go to geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io for more information.
Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, insights for the semi-observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 127, Star Trek Enterprise Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2, I guess, Broken Bow. They're listed as Broken Bow Parts 1 and 2, so I'll say the two-part season and series premiere, so... with that, I will jump right into the episode. I finally had a chance to watch it. I think I may have watched it back in the day when it first aired, or I saw some episodes in the middle just to check out what it was all about. Didn't really think much of it. Knew at the time that it was a prequel to, or a prequel in the Star Trek universe. And I thought recently with my getting Amazon Prime, I'd check it out. I think the first four seasons. All five seasons are available, so I thought I'd check out the premiere, give it another shot, start from the beginning, and go from there. So with that, I will jump right into it and give my review. But in general, I will say that it is a little odd to begin with, but it was not as bad as I had expected it, not as bad as I had expected it to be. So with that, I will jump right into it. So the season one premiere of Star Trek Enterprise aired in the United States on September 26, 2011. It had a bunch of different taglines, so hang in here with me for just a second. So before Janeway and Picard, before Spock and Kirk, the Star Trek saga began. Meet Kirk's childhood hero. Back to where it all began. The final frontier has a new beginning. For decades, man has dreamed of going beyond his galaxy. This fall, we will. The Star Trek saga begins. A new era of discovery is about to begin. The first trek into the unknown. Before Janeway, before Sisko, before Picard, before Kirk, there was Enterprise. And where the new adventure begins. So, a number of different taglines, basically all talking about how the show is a prequel to everything we know about relatively speaking at the time, current events of the Star Trek universe. So essentially where it all began, how the Federation came to start. This is also before the Federation Romulan Wars. So way back then, this is also, I guess, to put it into another perspective, approximately 90 years after Zefram Cochrane made his first flight with warp. So something to consider there as far as where that's all started. So the summary for part one of Broken Bow is Enterprise, Earth's first vessel capable of exploring the universe, is to embark on a dangerous first mission, bringing back a chaste Klingon to his home world. The second part, or part two summary, is that Archer learns from the Suliban Saren that Klang was carrying a message to the Klingons to prevent civil war in the Klingon Empire. She urges to find him. So essentially, as you can tell, part one is finding and hanging on to Klang, the lost Klingon. The second part is finding him and taking him back home. And then also the politics and back end issues as far as the humans taking point on this mission. A bit of precursor is that for these 90 years, the humans were deferring to the knowledge and records of what the Vulcans provided back since their original meeting. So basically, since this was the first time humans were setting foot in space and going to be interacting with various other races and species, that it would be best to defer to their judgment. At this point, we have a slight differing of ways in that the humans now feel like they should be on their own, or at least be able to explore on their own and still defer to the judgment of, for example, in this case, the Vulcans, but also explore on their own. There should be no reason that they are unable to work on their own and do what they need to do, at least explore and get out on their own and have their own two feet in the universe. So, as always, I'll have a link to the IMDb profile and the Wikipedia page so you can get more information. And then, as I mentioned, I did watch the first two episodes. It is approximately an hour and a half long episode on Amazon Instant Video, so that's where I checked out this particular version. So it is streaming and commercial free. So with that, I will jump into the insight. So to start it off, running in fields never ends well. So we start off the episode with Klang, the lost Klingon, running from who we later learn are two rogue Suliban individuals. They've been upgraded, I say upgraded in air quotes, in that they have genetic mutations, but not necessarily in a bad way, but in the sense that they were genetically modified to be superior in their for their race, or rather than what just what they normally could do in their within their race. They can, you know, jump faster, go run faster, move harder, be stronger, and all of that stuff. And so they're chasing this Klingon through a field and end up dying in an explosion. And I say that running in a field never ends well because I'm referring to most recently the first Star Trek movie, I think the 2009 version, basically the first in the reboot, where we have Captain Kirk running through a field and him trashing the car and getting caught by the police. So when I saw that, I kind of got that kind of feel and vibe to that whole scene. Next up, we have, or when at the point when we had the first, I want to say, I'll say in air quotes, red shirt dies. Red badges are obviously harder to identify. And I say that because this guy, from what it looked from as I was watching, he was wearing actually a red badge. And I got to thinking that maybe this was a precursor way to identify the red shirts as we know them in the traditional Star Trek and the original series and Next Generation, and basically where all of that came from. So I figured that's probably just the original identifier, and red shirts are more noticeable, so you basically shoot at that guy rather than not knowing who to shoot at. Next up, hive structures are brought to you by styrofoam containers. So when we're at the Suliban planet and their hive structure, I want to say that it was part of the set and how it was designed, but while they were trying to also provide the look and feel of a more old school and original version of a Star Trek universe and race and technology, I didn't really like how it's pulled off, and maybe it's just because that was what was available at the time. You know, it seemed how it was 14 years ago, 15 years ago now, and it may have improved over the course of the series, but the way that it was presented looked more like a styrofoam or a take-home container, like when you're going out for Chinese food and they give you the styrofoam container plate to take your food home in. That's kind of what it reminded me of, just painted in dark blue and kind of given that visual effect of sci-fi technology. I don't know if maybe that's even what was done to begin with, but it looked too fake and not like technologically advanced race that was using that had made this to be plausible. It looked really unusual to me, so that's kind of where my mind went. It looked an awful lot like a styrofoam container painted blue rather than a small transport vessel that's part of the hive structure. But finally, is phaser time motion anti-gravity working within gravity? So the one thing that I actually kind of liked about this episode was when Captain Archer is in the room where the Suliban was talking to the mysterious guy, and they were kind of in and out of phase in how their visual look and feel was and how they were talking to this individual. So I don't know if this I couldn't tell if it was a higher plane of communication or just the way they kind of talked. To the point where, to me, the closest comparison would be like talking through the Force in Star Wars, or talking via the holo projectors, or via the holonet kind of thing, with the holo projections kind of thing, where we have, you know, like in Empire Strikes Back when Darth Vader is talking to the Emperor. But in this case, the whole room kind of had that phase in and out of effect, so it was kind of like they had a reaction or the side effect or consequence of this communication was that gravity caused the person to be out of phase while the gravity generator was causing them to keep that gravity. So it's kind of weird, but it's also a cool effect, and the whole fight sequence actually seemed to work. And I like that it was localized to that one room just because that's where the communication was happening. So overall, pretty good effect. I actually kind of, didn't come off as cheesy or anything like that. It was, they didn't really explain it too much. The guy on the other side didn't explain it, and it made me feel like it was a effect of the room rather than a physical ability of the person using that device. So overall, one of the positive parts of the episode. So that's all there is for that. So I summarize the episode with, or I will summarize the episode with Captain Archer's recollection of what he learned and how he got through this particular incident, in that we can't let a little wind slow us down. And this is a twofold effect, in that just because they lost Klang and they're dealing with a new race or a genetically modified bunch of individuals, they can't let them slow them down and stop them from finding Klang and accomplishing their mission. And also towards the Vulcan T'Pol that was on their mission, that she was kind of the contrarian, that they should go back, that they should fail, and that Captain Archer was not going to give up and fail in the mission. While it was not stated, I kind of got that whole vibe that he knew the risks and the need to complete this mission, and that they're out there and that they need to be able to complete their mission. If they go back and report failure, that they're going to be set back for who knows how long. So if they finish this mission and overcome any obstacles that get in their way, they know that they can proceed further and move on with their missions. So I give the episode a real score of a 90%. I did like the comparisons as far as positives go. The comparisons between the Vulcans and the humans, we kind of see how we see those immediate comparisons between the logic and reasoning behind the Vulcans and kind of the ability for the humans to jump to conclusions or at least persevere through obstacles rather than turning back and say that they failed, even though the mission, or basically to take that risk and think outside the box a little bit. The only negative is that it's one of those things, or it seems like it's one of those shows where you need to know that Star Trek Enterprise is a prequel in the Star Trek universe. They do have this scene where they make note to Zefram Cochrane and the initial flight of the first ship they have going to Warp 1, and the friendship with the Vulcans. But to me, it also kind of seemed like it could have been a episode that is a sequel to the Star Trek universe. So rather than 90 years after the first flight, or however many years before the events in Star Trek, it could have been, 100 or 200 years after the events in the latest Star Trek movies, where the Federation and the Vulcan, or the Federation is falling apart, and that maybe things are not going as well as they hoped, or there's a prolonged conflict that's been happening, and that's why the Vulcans are not too happy with the humans, or there's been some sort of power shift and power issue, and sort of even power struggle that could have caused the issue. But going into it, knowing that it's a prequel, kind of helps me. I actually, for the most part, I kind of enjoyed it. It at points here and there, it seemed a little over the top and cheesy, but not to the. So it's kind of like in that mix between Star Trek: The Original Series and probably, I want to say, Deep Space Nine. So depending on where you like or which versions of Star Trek you like, that's kind of where it stands for me. So I will check out more of the episodes and see where it goes, see if it's worth watching. So that is really all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, insights of your own, you can always email me at headphones@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574, and you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, if you want to make sure you hear the hear Star Trek while you're watching it in the best possible quality sound, be sure to visit our friends over at Tweaked Audio. Visit geek-io.net/tweak to start looking at what they have for all their colors and options and microphone and non-microphone versions. And be sure to use the promo code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, to get an extra one-third off your order, so you'll not only get a great pair of noise-reducing headphones, you'll save some money at the same time. And of course, if you want to check out Tweaked Audio and all of our various sponsors, be sure to visit geek-io.net/support. And of course, if you want to help us show hosts and expand the network, be sure to visit patreon.com/geek-io. And of course, if you want to check out this show and more shows on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.